It is a real joy to be back here tonight in the camp meeting. To see some old friends. And thank God for the privilege He's given us to be here. I was telling your pastor today, it's a joy for a pastor to be able to get away. Every once in a while, get in some territory they hadn't been in for a while. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that we're in days when people don't want preaching. I'm finding out just about everywhere I go now, people want to be entertained. But there's no substitute for preaching. And I'm thankful that the programs may be art in their place, but they do not take the place of preaching. And I'm glad, thank God, that God calls men to preach. And I bless His name tonight for the opportunity to be here. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to a young preacher, giving him some instructions, giving him the commands from God, and he's laying some foundations for him because he's going to fight many battles. He's going to fight hell by the acre. The devil's going to try to trip him up, try to discourage him, try to get him out of the ministry, but thank God if he's grounded right, taught right, and has the sound doctrines, he'll be able to continue on. In verse 12 of chapter 1, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." I like that. You don't get up one morning craving chicken and not want to go to work and say you've been called. God puts you into... You better make sure God puts you in the ministry. And when He puts you in the ministry, you'll stay put. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Remember those days? "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, Paul is saying here that Timothy better get his eyes on the one that's given him grace. He better get his eyes on the one, thank God, that will see him through, that will guide him and direct him. And he'd better give glory to the only one that deserves glory. I want to look at verse 17 for a few moments tonight and preach to you on this subject. He's still God. In verse 17 it says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." And that word glory means the brightness and the splendor that pours out from God. Our Father, we love You tonight because You first loved us. We thank You tonight, Lord, for the time that we can get back again in this pulpit. Lord, to be a blessing to Your people and to share the precious Word of God. Lord, we are not in popularity contest. We are not here trying to outdo one another. But Lord, we are here to hear from You. I pray tonight that You'd overshadow this place with Your divine grace. Lord, we know that You are sovereign God. You do not have to ask us what to do, when to do it, or how to do it. And Lord, You don't need our opinion on anything. I thank You again tonight, Lord, for the blood of our Savior and for the grace of God, Lord, that's reached further than we could ever get. I love You tonight, Lord, and I pray now that You touch us afresh and anew. Oh, God, help us tonight. We'll praise You and we'll thank You in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen. You can be seated. As we look into the book, the Word of God, we'll find out very quick when studying this Bible and the Word of God, you'll come to the conclusion that it's put together by the divine author and the divine inspiration of a holy and a righteous God. I'm thankful tonight that our authority stands on the book, the Word of God. I'm thankful tonight as we look at this divine authority, all of these books have one thing in common. It points us to Jesus Christ. If in your preaching and in your witnessing and in your talking about the Lord, you'd better wind up with Him. He better be in the middle of your preaching. He better be in the middle of your witnessing. He better be in the middle of all your problems. And as we begin to unfold the Word of God and begin to look at it, tonight we find that God has one thing and one subject concerning our God and His creatures, and that is that He has all the glory. From the very first books of the Bible, we detect that He's been tried and been exhausted by many, they think, but yet we have not touched the surface of who our great God is and what He will do for us. I like the attributes of God and the character of God, but it's never been touched on what really the true God is all about tonight. You and I, with our little finite minds, look to a perfect God, thank God, who is unlimited. We serve a God tonight that's perfect, although we are imperfect, and so we can never be perfect until we get to heaven. But thank God I've got one that is perfect, leading and guiding and directing me along the way. I've got one that will see me through and to help me. I like what Isaiah said, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There's no God besides me." In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5. To me, this is what most of the Bible does. It exalts our Lord. And I'm thankful tonight that when we begin to look in any book of the Bible, you'll find that He's the center, He's exalted, and He's the one, thank God, that needs to be. And as we begin to look at this epistle tonight, as Timothy writes, it's being written to by the Apostle Paul, it's no different. He's pointing very quickly to the God of heaven, to Jesus Christ the Savior. He's reminding him very quick he is what he is by the grace of God. He reminds him that without the guidance of the Holy Ghost, then we would be absolute failures. But thank God tonight, as we see the glory of God appear and the glory of God being manifested in His children, it's all because of the mercy and the grace of God, that God in a loving, kind way would extend that to His creatures that He has saved by His marvelous grace. As we begin to look at this tonight, always we find in these epistles that's written, I like the doxology, what is simply the praise to God. I say tonight, if you send the praise up, the glory will come down. I believe we ought to praise God. I don't believe you ought to be in a place that you're ashamed of God. I think you ought to have lift holy hands towards heaven and shout. I thank praise God tonight. He's worthy to be praised, and He's worthy of all the honor and the glory that we can give Him. And so as we look at 1 Timothy 1:17 in detail in just a moment, let me remind you for a few words of introduction here that when you look at these epistles, you begin to look at the other books of the Bible. Paul emphasizes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, the divine pardon of God. Aren't you glad tonight that you've been pardoned and not paroled? I'm thankful, hallelujah, thank God that He's pardoned me. I'm thankful that He saved my miserable soul and covered me by the blood. Thank God tonight for the pardon of God. And that book of Galatians is a tremendous book in and of itself. But then Paul moves on to Ephesians and he leaves the divine pardon of God and he puts emphasis in chapter 3, verse 20 through 21 on the divine power of God. We've been pardoned tonight by one who is all powerful. You go to another book in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 and you find the doxology there at the last of that book and the divine provisions of God. I'm glad that our God provides for His children. I'm thankful tonight, hallelujah, that He's pardoned me. He's powerful enough to do it and He provides every need that I have. You go to another book of the Bible called the book of Jude in chapter 1, verse 24 through verse 25, and you see the divine prospects of God. He's able to save us to the uttermost, but thank God He keeps those that He saves. You go to the last book of the Bible and you find that tremendous verse in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6, and it talks about the divine purpose of God. Let me remind you tonight, children, that God has a purpose in everything that He does. God has a purpose tonight. Thank God for saving you. Paul reminds young Timothy that he's the chief of sinners, and he says Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, I was a candidate. I'm glad tonight, thank God, that He reached down and picked me up when nobody else would. I'm thankful that He passed by, but hallelujah, He didn't pass by, He stopped by, and He picked me up, and He carried me with Him. I bless His name tonight for what God's done for me and how He's done for me, which no one else could do. So as we begin to look tonight at this little verse of Scripture in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I believe Paul leaves a divine pardon, although it's wrapped up in this. And he's not belittling this at all, but the emphasis changes here. Paul's emphasis is not on the pardon of God and the power of God and the provisions of God and the prospects of God and the purpose of God, but I believe here tonight that Paul emphasizes the person of God. Thank God for the divine person. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that He's real and He is the real God. He is saluting Him for the call, and He gives a description of praise in this verse. You and I tonight ought to salute our Father. Thank God we ought to give Him praise and honor and glory for where He's brought us from and what He's done for us. So here, He doesn't talk about the past work of redemption, although we can talk about it. Here, He doesn't talk about the future work of glorification, although praise be unto God, I'm already glorified according to Romans chapter 8 and according to what God tells us in His book. I asked you a question tonight. How in the name of God's heaven could you ever be lost if in God's sight, in God's mind, in God's heart, we are already glorified and seated in heavenly places with Him? Thank God I'm glad tonight for the person of Jesus Christ, my precious Lord. I say to you tonight, as we look at this, He zeroes in here and just sets aside the purpose and the power and the prospects and the provisions and the pardon of God and just gives Him praise and glory for who He is. Could we just do that for a little while tonight? Just give Him praise and glory for who He really is. Unto God, I say to you tonight, He's worthy. I like that song. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well tonight because He's worthy. He refers to Him as King. That's His position. He refers to Him as eternal. That's His permanency. He refers to Him as immortal. That refers to His purity. Has to do here, and I'll deal with that a little bit, about no corruption. Woo! Glory be unto God. I'm glad He can't be corrupted. Has to do with invisible. That is His person. Oh, seeing Him who is invisible. Glory to God. I'm glad that was a day when I saw Him who was invisible. I'm glad that was a day when He who was invisible, I was blinded with this naked eye and could not see Him. But by the divine work of the Holy Ghost, praise be unto God, He reached down, done something in my heart, removed the blindness and drew me unto Himself. And I saw Him who was invisible. That's the God I'm saying. He's still God. God works the same way as He did then. He's working the same way as He always have. God saves those sinners, but it is God that's doing the saving. I done got so fed up with this crowd debating on who's in and who's out. I don't know what to do. I'm determined by the grace of God. If God will let me go 40 more years, praise be unto God, I'm going to zero in on Him and keep telling it that, thank God, He'll snatch the ones He wants when He gets ready. Unto God, we get so caught up in this mess sometimes, we think we're God's gift to this nation. If a brother don't see it like we see it exactly, I had a man the other day to tell me he's a 5-point Calvinist. The other day tell me, he said, bless God, if they don't see it like that, I'd die if they say. I'd say, wait a minute, bless God. Wait just wait a minute. You didn't see it when God saved you. You didn't know beans about it. You didn't even know how to spell it, much less know what it meant. Now don't you run me off and don't you call me a liberal. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, bless God. If God don't do that work, you don't get in. If God don't remove those blindness, you don't get in. But thanks be unto God, He will not turn you away if you come on His condition. I get it. Who ever heard of such junk? He's a grace preacher. Well, unto God, what other kind is it? He's up against. I don't care what you're going through. Thank God He's still God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul seems to be saying he's just plumb inexhaustible. He gets so wrapped up in Him that nothing else matters. He just tries to exalt Him and he can't quite do it. Comes back and keep using these words. Well, my God, it would have been enough to say, now unto Him who is the King. I mean, unto God, children, we could preach all night on King. Because He's King Jesus. Because He's the head of the crowd. He's the preeminent one. He's the powerful one. Thank God He takes it all. But then it seems Paul saying, though your vocabulary is a little limited and you can't come up with too many more words with that King, he says, by the way, He's King eternal. Now this little country boy don't know too much, but I do know this. If something's eternal, that means it's forever. Take us with you to the house tonight and figure it out. There's never been a time when He won't King. I know your theological crowd will tear it all to pieces. But God takes theological crowds and spits them out. Used to be a thing said He was prophet. He is priest. And one day He will be King. I say like that little Sam Jones Memphis preacher said, the 100 pounds soaking wet, said, ladies and gentlemen, let's puke. He's always been prophet, king, and priest. He's always been who He is and what He is and what He ever shall be. Thank God He is. He's a present tense God. Isaiah says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like Me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying My counsel shall stand and I will do all My pleasure. You can do what you want with that, honey. You ain't going to mess God's pleasure up. Thank God what God wants to do, God's going to do it. God's not to sweep down through here tonight and just pick out one and stab him. Said, come on with Me. You know what you're going to do? You're going. Last time I checked, He didn't have to meet with the deacons. Last time I checked, He didn't have to meet with the church. He didn't have to meet with the pastor. He didn't have to meet with anybody. God does what He wants to do when He gets ready to do it. That's the reason I say He's still God. Paul begins to give a description of this praise. You'll notice here His invincibility. Now unto the King. He's the King. He can't be conquered. He's the King. He can't be defeated. He's the King. Thank God He can't be subdued. This is His position. God's always had that position and always will have that position. Thanks be unto God tonight. I'm glad for the invincibility of our great King. For the power that He exhibits in what He does. But thank God for the person Himself. Now you know yourself. In order to get into royalty, you got to have some connections. You just don't ride up to the gate one day, park your donkey outside, and say, I'm going to go back in a little bit. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, no. You got to have some connections. You got to have some. You got to have somebody that knows somebody. Yeah. 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 Thank God I'm glad that was a day. Oh, I went for 24 years, and buddy, I didn't know God. Wouldn't have known God if He'd crossed the road in front of me. Didn't even know John 3:16 was in the Gospel of John. But I'm glad, hallelujah, there was a night on the road to Halifax that the King gave me orders and He summons me to come to His court. Thanks be unto God. He done a work in my heart, removed those blinders and pulled me up, and I changed kings that day. Oh, blessed be His name. There was a time when I served the devil wide open, but thank God there's a different throne now. There's a different person, and there's a different one that sits on it. Thanks be unto God for our great King and the person of Him. I say to you tonight, He's still God. He's not just the greatest You won't find us in the dictionary, but it's so. He's the onlyest. No competition. Isaiah chapter 43, you don't have to turn. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Whew. Now, when my daddy saw me when I was born, he liked to have a fit. He probably didn't even want to claim me. But there's a few times down the way that he said, he's mine. But there's never been a time. Whew. There's never been a time when the great sovereign God of heaven, now I hope us don't choke you, but it's never been a time that I haven't been his. I've been wandering around as a lost sheep. I've been wandering around, but I've never been a goat. God ain't in no dehorning business. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. I'm glad, hallelujah, that sheep that was lost, he reached there to pick me up and let me come into the throne of grace. Whew. Yeah. You study this chapter out and you will find he's purchased me. Chapter 4, you will purchase possession. You will find out in chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 43, that he's preserved you. I'm glad he ain't in the pickling business. Thank God he's in the preserving business. You'll find out in verse 20 that he's provided for you. You'll find out in verse 25 that he's pardoned you. And you'll find out in verse 3 and 4 that he's precious to you. Thank God for this work of our great King. Thank God for what he's done for us, how he's moved upon us, and how he works and operates in us. Amen. And so Paul is saying his description of praise is his invincibility now unto the King as he gives praise and honor to glory. But he goes on a little further. He said the King eternal. This deals with his immutability. Thanks be unto God, he never changes. I'll change from day to day. You'll change from day to day. It's a matter of fact, someone said about me not too long ago, well, he's changed. Could I say to you, glory. I hope to God I've changed. I listened to a tape when I was a young preacher. I can qualify to say that now. I listened to a tape when I was a young preacher, very young preacher, just starting out. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I would not have listened to me back then. Now, I have not changed far as doctrine is concerned. Started out right, so I stay right. I haven't had no problem with doctrine. Never, as far as I know, in 40 years, I've never had to back up and apologize for preaching doctrine. But doctrine's been straight. Now, my preferences has been all over the place. Oh, God, I got a scattergun of preferences. Used to be when I didn't study any, I could scatter you pretty good. But, buddy, when God loads your weapon, double barrel, yeah, when he loads your weapon, hallelujah, he does the guiding. He never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That sort of knocks that idea in the head about he was, he is, and he will be. Oh, no, 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 no. If he has never been priest and he's just priest now, we in trouble. Thank God I'm glad he ever liveth to make intercession for his children. He's the same. He has no competition. He's invincible. He has never changed. He's immutable. I thank God tonight that God has changed us. God has matured us. God has helped us. I went to my pulpit one Sunday morning many years ago and almost done it 3 weeks ago. I had the shotgun loaded. Mad as the devil himself. My wife told me, she said, you watch it. I said, you sit on that pew, I'll handle this pulpit. I can say that tonight, she's not here. Yes, sir. Yeah, and you know what she told me? That little redhead looked back at me and she said, yeah, but big boy, you got to go home with me. That's your throne as long as you own it. I'll not touch you as long as you in it. But you got to come out of it sometime or another. She's my greatest critic. Don't you ever ask your wife, how'd I do? And if you're not careful, that honey will drip all over you. I say to you tonight, He's still God. You know what I hear ringing in my ear every time I go to another point? Don't keep them all night. And don't tell them everything you know in one message. So I cut the introduction out. I done cut two other points out. I done left a poem out. And I hadn't said anything yet what I wanted to say about one verse. So I'm going to point number three. All God's children said. Yeah. His invincibility. He's still describing now. He's still describing the great God that He serves. He's still God. I'm trying to say to you tonight, children, thank God for His mercy. Not giving us that which we deserve. For His grace, giving us that which we don't deserve. But thank God for His loving kindness that He reaches down and picks us up and does for us what nobody else can do. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but if you're like most of God's children, you're fighting some battles. I don't know what kind of battle you're in tonight, but if you're like most of God's children, it gets mighty deep. If you're a man of God here tonight, I do know this by past experience and by present experience and by future experience. I want to help you right now. It ain't going to get no better. But He's still God. When you can find Him, He's God. When you can't find Him, He's God. When you can feel Him, He's God. When you can't feel Him, He's God. Thank God the fact remains, He's still God. His immortality. He has no corruption. Look at what He says. 1 Timothy 1. Now unto the King eternal, immortal. The King, thank God, His invincibility. Eternal, His immutability. His immortality. He has no corruption. His purity. Oh, God, this word here has to do with corruption. Has to do with Him being corrupt, and He has no corruption. Neither will thou leave my soul in hell, and His Holy One will see no corruption. Death had no power over Him. Oh, somebody said, oh, but He died. Yeah, but He bared His head and gave up the ghost. Son, it didn't have no power over Him. He submitted unto it for you and for me. But thank God, up from the grave He arose on that third day. Every time you see the death of Christ mentioned in Scripture, somewhere right before it, somewhere right behind it, or somewhere right near it, it's going to be the resurrected Christ. The Old Testament priest died. That's reading Hebrews says it's a better priesthood. He's a better priest. Why? Because He ever liveth to make intercession for His children. Praise be unto God. I'm glad I've got one that goes to have to God on my behalf. I'm thankful tonight for the blessed Holy Ghost of God. As Romans 8:26 tells us, He takes care of my weakness, takes care of my ignorance, takes care of all the things that I don't know what I ought to pray for. But glory be unto God. He knows that He'll go into the Father and say, this is what He needs. This is what He wants. And the blessed Holy Ghost of God is still God. God's still God. And He says, take care of my child. Used to be years ago, I'd had no better sense. I used to attempt to sing a little bit. God knows that was a disaster. But it was an old song. I don't know where it come from, a Church of God group. I really don't give a flip. You watch them Church of God songs, you sing them, you get yourself lost in them. But you got a little toe-tapping music in some of them. They don't give a flip whether it's scriptural or not, long as it rhymes. But one of the old songs we used to sing, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." Oh, dear God. He says, "Go down yonder gable, put your land on the foot and see. But don't you blow that trumpet until you hear from me. 'Cause it ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to get up out of that ground. Well, ain't no angel coming after me." Song sounded pretty good, but it ain't no angel coming after me. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, thank God for the Lord himself, so descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Looking for Jesus, that blessed hope. Glory be unto God. I'm glad he's still God and his promises are still true. They're still real, and God never changes his mind. Well, you ever think about this? God doesn't love you any more tonight than he's ever loved you. And his love is unconditional. So it's absolutely nothing, nothing that I can do or you can do to impress God or to get God to love us any more than he ever has. And that says something to me. God loves me just as much now as he ever will, as he ever has. He loved me just as much when I was a drunk as he does now. Why? Because this salvation that God has given me ain't got nothing to do with it. Now, don't hang me. But his love has got everything to do with it. He loved me. Paul says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't understand this, but the closer I try to get to him, the further I feel away. You study this book that I'm preaching to you tonight, and you'll find this to be true. Everybody that got a glimpse of the glory of God or got a glimpse of God said, "Woe is me, oh wretched man that I am, a man of unclean lips. I'm vile and wretched. But thanks be unto God, because he's an unchangeable God and because he's still God. That middle wall of petition hadn't only been taken down for Israel as a nation, but it's been taken down for every child of God tonight that'll come through the blood brought way. That'll come to God on his conditions and do what God says to do. Praise be unto God. He'll in no wise turn away his head from you, but he'll pick you up and carry you to the house." Grave says, "Did anything happen yet?" The devil hollers down to death, and death said, "Oh no, not yet, but we're working on it." Second day he says, "Well, check him out. Corruption set in yet?" "Well, no, but don't worry, we never lost one. It's just two escaped us. This ain't gonna do it." Third day the hell was getting nervous. He went back to check him and he won't die. No corruption. That's the reason he's still God. He won't corrupt then. He's not corrupt now. And he never will be corrupt. Thank God, I'm glad his immortality is seen. There's no corruption. His purity. He's invincible. No competition. Thank God his position is there's no competition with God. His immutability. He never changes. That's His permanency. That will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His immortality. No corruption. He's a pure God. I say, what a God. What a Jesus. What a Holy Ghost. Fourthly, His invincibility. No conflict. Oh, dear God. What a God we serve. What a God we look to. He has no problems. Do you realize tonight nothing has ever occurred to God? Do you realize tonight the next time you see a woodpecker, look at that thing hidden in that tree and wonder what keeps him from knocking his brains out? Scientists are still trying to figure it out. See, it's the little things that count. God has no barrier. Nobody's gone so far that God can't get them. Nobody can go so deep that God can't reach down and pull them up. Nobody can be that mighty that God can't knock them off the ladder and bring them down. Thank God He's still God and He still works. His invincibility is seen. There's no conflict here. God knows I've tried to play the Holy Ghost many times, but that's all I can do is try. And God will let something happen. I think I get a handle on something in the Scripture, get real boastful with it, and preach it, boy, like the house is on fire. Go home, get in my study, and the Holy Ghost says, what about this verse? But He's invincible. That is, it's yet to be seen what my God can do. He's no conflict. He can bring the quail into the camp. He can put the manna on the table. He can take care of every need you have. Hey, little boy in my church, boy, he's been saved for right many years. He got up last Wednesday night and just a squalling like a baby. He said, preacher, I've heard you say God take care of you. He said, but I'm going to tell you, it's getting mighty trying. He said this, the whole church full. He said, I got to turn my truck in Friday. Company's been paying for it. He said, they've been giving me $100 a week gas allowance. He said, they're going to quit that. And he said, if things are going to change, he said, I'll probably lose my job by the first of the year. He said, I want the church to just pray for me that God will help me have the, here's the word he used, right attitude. And here's what that little boy said. He said, I got three children. He said, I got all the stuff going on. He said, but I've heard you preach for 20-some years he's been under me. He said, I've heard you preach that he's still God. And that God was bigger than any problem I've got. And he said, here's what he said, Brother David. He said, he's got to be a mighty big God right now. But could I say this to you? He is. He is. He's a mighty big God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He is. He is. That's my God. He's still God. He's still. You know what he told me last night? When the men went out to eat, he went with us. One of the men took him out. We got back to the church parking lot and got her in the van. He came over and looked at me and tears running down his cheeks. And he looked. He said, preacher, would you come up here for just a moment? I said, what you need, Robert? He said, come up here, please. He said, I want you to dedicate this new truck to the Lord. Am I hearing this right? Here he was going to lose his truck and all this stuff. He said, what I done, I went over to the Ford place, told them the situation. He said, I don't understand it. He said, God led me to a Ford place. He said, I don't understand it. He said, but I went there. And he said, I went in. And he said, I got there and I got to talking to him. And he said, I told him the situation. That man bought my truck, paid me what I owed on it, let me get this truck, and the payments is where I can afford, and the gas is about half what it is a month. And he says, that's what he said. He said, he can do it, can't he, preacher? You know what I did, Brother Dave? Here's the big man of God, Nassie. I said, oh, yeah, praise be unto God. Now, I don't know what I'd have said if he'd have come to me Sunday morning. He said, I'm going to lose everything I got. But he's still God. He's still God. To the natural man, thank God, this may be crazy, but thank God he can see what we can't see. I got one more point and I'm through. Paul concludes this doxology by saying that this God is not only the invincible one, He has no competition. He's the immutable one. There's no changing. He's the immortal one. There's no corruption. He's the invisible one. There's no conflict. He's the King who never changes, has no barrier, with no corruption. But He's the only wise God, and He praises Him now for His infallibility. He's infallible. Oh, God. That is, He's without error. I find no fault in Him. Never man spake like this man. Oh, He's infallible. He's without error in His birth. Check it out! Praise be unto God. You'll never find another birth like the birth of our Savior. Why? It's infallible. He's in Aaron in his boyhood. Check it out. The only time He spoke as a boy that's recorded in the Bible, I know He spoke more than that, but the only recorded words we have is when He was 12 years old. And the words He said, because He was an infallible God at that time, says, I must be about my Father's business. Thanks be unto God. He's in the business crowd that gets it done. I'm glad the Father's business is not corrupt. The Father's business cannot be bought off. It cannot be brought out. Praise be unto God. It'll get the job done. And Obama has nothing to do with it. He's infallible in His baptism. You know why I put people behind my pulpit in that baptismal pool? You know why we go down to the river when we didn't have a baptismal pool? You know why we put them under the water? Because that's the way the Lord done it. He didn't do it Himself, but that's the way He was done. Good enough for Him, good enough for me. And He didn't get baptized. Oh, no. Because He needed it. He's our example. He's infallible. The death, the burial, the resurrection is seen in that every time a sinner goes down. Thank God it's not to wash his sins away. The blood of Calvary does that. But it's to be in direct obedience to the divine sovereign God. He's still God. That's the way God says do it. He's infallible in His battles. You think you have battles? I think I have battles. 40 days and 40 nights without food. Led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Here comes the human part. Now you can't figure this out. Don't even try to do it. He's 100% God and 100% man. There's never been a time when He's been half evil. But as human, He hungered. As God, He made the bread. And that sour devil said, why don't you just fall down and worship me? And the Lord, now you won't find this in the Bible, but here's what I think the Lord just told him. Don't need to. Why would I want to worship you? I already own it all. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to say He's still God. Yeah, yeah. Then after that battle, he goes on, the children don't understand how his sweats of drops of blood came off his brow. When he was in that garden praying for you and for me. And there's some people have the audacity to say he was praying to try to get out of going to the cross. That's a lie out of hell. For the first time in eternity had the fellowship been broken when he goes to that cross. He said, if it be any other way, let that pass. But he couldn't. And he turned his back on him as a sacrifice, but never as God. He never ceased to be God. Don't you ever lose sight of that, buddy. He never lost His holiness. He's a holy God. It's His bruises, His blood, His burial, and His busting out. He busted out of that. Somebody said he rolled the tomb back, the stone back, so he could get out. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. They didn't roll the stone back so he could get out. He rolled it back so we could see in. He's infallible. You can't improve on that. And in His bright glory, thank God He can never be confused. He's the only wise God. Oh, that's the prudence of God. I preached some messages I had to re-preach. But he's never spoken a word he had to preach. He's never said, he's never given a doctrine that he had to change. He's never uttered a word that he said, I wish I hadn't said that. I asked my people not long ago, I said, could I ask you a very deep question and I want you to meditate on this stuff next week before you answer it? And I'm going to ask you that, and you do it too. Don't answer tonight. Just think about it for a while. Which part of thou shalt not don't we understand? That's when I was getting mean. But then I mellowed. And I just caught calling names. This will help all of us tonight. And honestly, I'll be done in just a second. This will help all of us. You have to grow when you get saved. I made that statement a while ago. I wouldn't have listened to me when I started out. But that was me. That's where I thought it. And unto God, I thought that I was doing the right thing. I didn't go up there with a hatchet and just doing that. I thought I was doing the right thing. But then it dawned on me, your people don't grow if it's salvation, 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 salvation. And people don't grow if you don't like to hear this, but it's so. You're not going to grow if you're not in a valley. Or you're not going through a tunnel. Or you're not in some thing. The Lord trieth the righteous. Next time you're in one, try to do this. Say, thank you, Lord, for that trial. Hard to say. But try to do it. He's still God. And say, thank you, Lord, for, here's the word, trust in me. We trust him. Have you ever thought about him trusting you? We have to grow. But God has never had to say, hold on, I was wrong about this. He's never been confused. I'm finding now in my 60s, I get a little confused about things sometimes. And the people I talk to that's a little older than me said, that ain't going to get no better. So I don't get no encouragement there, so I try to talk to these young fellas. He's inexhaustible. He's king, invincible, no competition, immutable, no changing, immortal, no corruption, invisible, no conflict, infallible, no confusion. And then Paul says, there's the dignity in the praise, the honor and glory. The honor and glory. And then there is the duration of the praise. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, get that forever and ever. We'll praise him throughout eternity. He's our great God. He's still God. His position, his permanency, his purity, his person, and his prudence. Thank God. He's still God. Father, thank you tonight for the good liberty. Thank you for meeting with us here and manifesting yourself as only you can. I pray now that you'd have your way in everything that's said and done. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. I never shall forget the day you revealed yourself to me. Showed me what I was. Thank you, you didn't leave me. But you let me come to you. I'm glad tonight for the sealing power that's in that blood. In Jesus' bloodstained name, we praise you for the outcome. Bless the men that will come the rest of this week. Use them, strengthen them, encourage them, and God, may they give what these people need. We'll thank you for it in advance. Amen.